This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us
rejoice and be glad. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. It's the fifth Sunday in Lent. We're doing a special liturgy this morning based on the hymn, O Dearest Jesus. So there are a few things that will be different up until the sermon portion. So follow along in the bulletin you received on the hand. We'll begin on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of peace under the processional hymn. Let us pause. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me.
Let us kneel and be seated in the confession of sin. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. Justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. And I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray for your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings of death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise and greet one another for the peace of the Lord.
A reading from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities.
Thank you.
Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his blood.
Lord,
Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I deserve the law of sin. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit.
They went out from us,
sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lord in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And deliver it over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, and spit on him, and flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you must be your servant, and whoever will be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
He looked like
Christ did not exalt himself. You know what it means to exalt?
Of course you do.
It means to like lift up and make great, right? Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son." Who did you talk about earlier, Walter? Who did you think that picture was at first? God. Yeah. God appointed Jesus. "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And he also says in another place, he says, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." All right, next picture. Who is this? Who is this? Come on, his name's right on there. Oh, not God. Of course, this is Melchizedek in his later years, right? I don't really know exactly what Melchizedek looks like. I don't really know exactly what God looks like either. But this is the image of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, when we talk about Jesus, God appointed Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean, right? We don't know a lot about Melchizedek, but we read about him in the Bible. And we know a lot about Jesus, right? But do we know what Jesus really looked like? Do we know what Jesus looked like? No, we know that Jesus was born of a virgin, right? What was Jesus' mother name? Mary. And
Joseph
was not his biological father, right? The Holy Spirit came and had a baby in Mary, right? Jesus. All right, what's this picture of? You've seen this one. Have you seen that? This is Jesus. Does he look like a priest a little bit?
No.
Oh, he doesn't? I don't know. You think he does? Jesus is like a priest? Who's this a picture of? Jesus. What's he look like here? A king? Jesus is a priest. He's a king. What's this a picture of? A servant. A servant. Jesus is the high priest. Jesus is the king. Jesus is a servant. Can we serve other people? Are we servants? We are. We are servants under Jesus, right? We are here to serve. Jesus is here to serve. How did Jesus serve us all with the best gift ever? What did he do? Yeah, what did he do? He died on the cross. He died on the cross for all people. For all people that ever were, for all people that there ever will be. Jesus died for everyone. And hopefully you wouldn't have to die for someone, right? But that's the love we're to show, because Jesus did that for us. And we will be in heaven one day with Jesus. We follow him and we try to be servants, and we know that he died for us as much as we mess up, because we always listen to our parents and to our elders and to our boss and to everything that we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
I mess up a lot. But I remember that Jesus died for me. And I repent, I say I'm sorry most of the time, and when I don't, I know I don't, and so I go back and I have to say I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. And pray for Jesus' help. Can we pray for Jesus' help?
Yes.
Anytime. All right, we are going to say some words as a closing prayer out of Psalm 119 as part of today's psalm reading that we didn't get to hear. So say these words after me. Now I say, I'm going to say, young man, that this is all of us. This is all of us. How can a young man keep his ways pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Jesus is our Savior. We can come to Him at church. We can go to Him at home. We can go to Him all times and pray for help, right? Because Lord knows we need help here on earth, right? We need help. Yes, we all need help. But we have Jesus who died for us, and we have that help. Amen? Amen. All right, I have a gold Werther's treat for you, or if you don't like gold karma, you can grab a gummy lifesaver and have a blessed day.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you go to a professional sporting event, a football, baseball, basketball, or soccer game, or a hockey match, there's that magical moment as you walk through the tunnel into the stands and you emerge into that bright new world. And as you sit there during the game, ask yourself, who is the greatest one here? The star player? The coach? The celebrity up in the skybox? Who's the greatest? It's an age-old question. Sometimes it seems that being one of Jesus' 12 disciples would have been amazing, but being a follower of Jesus is really rough on the 12 disciples. This teacher is like no other, and it's hard to keep up with all that he's doing and with all that he's teaching and with all that he's saying is going to happen. He is amazing. He heals the sick, he raises the dead, he makes the blind see, he feeds thousands from 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this movement that started out so small continues to grow and grow. Jesus is the Christ of God, the Messiah, the anointed one who has come to save his people. His success and his influence grow and grow. But then he keeps saying these strange things about what's going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. The first time Jesus says this is right after Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ. When Peter hears that people are going to hurt Jesus, Peter declares he's not going to allow it to happen. Peter will protect Jesus. But instead of being grateful for Peter's care, Jesus rebukes Peter harshly. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. The next time Jesus teaches about what is going to happen in Jerusalem is after the transfiguration and healing a boy who has a demon. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise. This time the disciples don't know what to say, so they remain silent. Although it seems that as they travel along the road, the 12 engage in the age-old question, which of them is the greatest? Jesus is teaching them the ways of God, but they're clinging to the ways of man. And Jesus reprimands them. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Now, in today's reading, they are on the road to Jerusalem, and Jesus tells them a third time, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." And the scene's really crazy. Jesus and the disciples are on the road to Jerusalem. And Jesus says that in Jerusalem, they're going to condemn him and mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. You don't have to be a genius to figure out how to make this situation better. There's an easy answer to the problem. Just stop. Stop going to Jerusalem. Turn around and go the other way. They are going to kill you in Jerusalem. Turning around is the plan that makes sense. But Jesus' ways are not the ways of the world. Jesus' ways do not make sense to the world. So how do the disciples respond to Jesus' third description of what's going to happen to him? Rebuking him for talking like this, that didn't work. Being silent didn't resolve the tension. Maybe they should just change the subject. James and John ask Jesus to do whatever they ask. And what is it that they want? "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." James and John have figured out who is the greatest. And it's the two of them. The issue of greatness is an age-old problem. We desperately want other people to know that we're better than them. In the corporate world, there's marks of greatness displayed by those who have achieved success and by those who want to achieve. You dress for success. It matters greatly what brand of shoes you have and what brand of wristwatch, the cut of your jacket, the cost of your car, the color of your credit card. These things are made to impress others. Where you sit at sporting events can show your status. Are you up in the skybox or right behind home plate, or are you way up high in an obstructed view nosebleed seat? Your natural sinful self wants others to see how great you are. Even after being reprimanded earlier for arguing about who is the greatest, James and John still want everyone to know that they are Jesus' favorites. They are the greatest. These two disciples do not comprehend what Jesus is repeatedly saying. And he tells them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" The spots on Jesus' right and left in his glory are already reserved for two lowlifes who will be crucified next to Jesus, who has made himself a lowlife, being executed on a cross. Jesus will pray that this cup might pass, but indeed he will drink the cup of God's wrath. Jesus will be baptized in his own blood and intense suffering and torment. He will be immersed in God's wrath as the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Can James and John drink the cup and be baptized with Jesus' baptism? They will. But not until Jesus has drunk the cup and been baptized and left the blessing. You also drink the cup, and you are baptized with Jesus' baptism. You drink from Jesus' cup at the Lord's Supper. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? You have been baptized in Jesus' baptism. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath, and he was baptized with suffering and death on the cross. His cup and baptism are for you a cup of blessing and a baptismal blessing. But there will be suffering attached. To follow Jesus is to take up your cross. James learned this when he was executed by the sword of Herod Agrippa in 44 AD. John is grieved by the death of his brother and the other 9 disciples, all executed for their faith. It's thought that John is the only disciple to have died a natural death, although as an old man, he's exiled to the island of Patmos, where he receives the vision that he records in the book of Revelation. You are a baptized child of God. You drink from the Lord's cup of blessing, and this marks you as an enemy of the world. The world hates you because it hates Jesus, and you are one with Jesus. The ways of the world say you should reject Jesus to avoid the hate and the suffering and the self-denial, to avoid the cross. This is the way of the world. But Jesus teaches, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. God's way is different than man's way. Jesus knows that figuring out who is the greatest is the way of the world. Declaring your greatness is the way of man. Self-promotion is how the world operates, but that's not how Christians live. You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Christianity is radical rebellion against the culture. To be great is to be a servant to others. As you enter the stadium, remember the greatest at the sporting event is not the star player. It's not the coach. It's not the celebrity up in the skybox. But rather, perhaps it's the security guard checking people as they come in. The lady on the grill in the back making hamburgers. The guy sweeping up after the event to get it ready for the next day. Christian greatness is very different. It's a very different life to be a Christian, humbly serving others rather than promoting yourself. Jesus' life on earth was a life of serving others, culminating in the ultimate service of giving his life in exchange for yours. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? Jesus broke the law of the world that seeks after personal greatness, power, and glory. Despite knowing what will happen, Jesus goes to Jerusalem to give his life as the ransom for you. The people of the world know how to avoid the difficulties and suffering of the cross. They reject the cross. And they're left in their sins. Jesus comes to earth for the very purpose of going to the cross to save you. Contrary to everything that makes sense, Jesus gives himself for you. The Lord of the universe is your servant. Take up your cross and follow him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of the Holy Spirit, that our Heavenly Father would write His word on our hearts and lead us to know Him as the God who forgives our iniquities and remembers our sins no more. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Matthew, our Synod President, and Heaven, our District President, for all our pastors, who like all flesh are beasts with weakness, that they may deal gently with us and be preserved faithful to proclaim God's word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For humility, that after the example of Christ, we would not lord authority over one another, but serve each other in our homes, communities, and congregation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all earthly authorities, that they may be guarded from the temptation to wield such power improperly, and be committed instead to good and faithful service. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the family of Mike Benson, Gary, Rosalie, Brian, Sherry, Dana, Grace, Don, Parker, Carolyn, Bob, Sandy, Sally, Danielle, Kelly, Rob, the family of Frank Sims, Burl, Jenny, Amanda, and Ella, and all who walk the way of the cross among us, that as Christ learned obedience through his suffering, they also may be instructed in his ways, sustained by his blessing, and in all time, in his time, receive relief from his heavenly fatherly hand. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who come to the holy altar, that God would prepare our hearts by his Spirit worthily to receive the body and blood of Christ, who was sacrificed for us on the cross, and that we would believe in his promise of forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Thank you.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The Lord be with you always.
Welcome to the Lord's table.
Lord,
Serve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Upon you with favor and give you peace.